Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Rob Carr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you're not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Now, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Lift me from the ground.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome to the program. My name is Will Koontz. You can hear me on 102.5 The Bone every weeknight, except Wednesday, 8 to 10. Wednesday, 10 to midnight for now. For now. That's all I can really say right now. Listen, if you're listening on podcast, you have to keep up with your favorite radio personalities on online, on social media, on their YouTube pages, on their podcast pages, because you never know and it might be gone, okay? So I'm just saying, follow the pages, all right? If you like somebody, so you can keep up with them. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter, and what else? Will's YouTube. .com. You go over there, you click the bell, you can get notified when Anna Hummel and myself go live Wednesday afternoon, sometime between 4:45 and 5:30. It changes, you know, drastically. That's has to do with being at the mercy of somebody who's not on time, usually. You know, I'm always 3 minutes early to everything, even if I try to be late, and some people just can't make it on time. It's one of those personality traits. Nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, I'm at the mercy of Anna Hummel most of the time. So we're not always live at certain times. So that's why I would encourage you to go to willsyoutube.com, click the bell, and that way you can be notified. When we're live, you can join in, make comments, rude ones, nice ones, whatever you want. And we do that Wednesdays afternoon, sometime between 4:30 and 5:30 usually. HMBradio.com. willspodcast.com. If you can't remember that, that should be easy enough. And over there, you can find bonus content. I did a video last week about Tom Brady and his problems that he's having right now. Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback Tom Brady. And he's got some issues. So go check that out. willsyoutube.com or willspodcast.com. You can follow me on social again, home_made_man. Thank you.
The first flight of
UFO
Discovery, and the shuttle has cleared the
tower.
Hi,
Anna.
Hi.
Good to see you.
And hi!
Oh, who's that? What's that cat's name?
Oh, this is Gouda. He has an underdeveloped penis.
That's the one with the small ding-dong. Well, hi, Gouda. Welcome to the program. We don't have guests very often, so it's a pleasure. Can you show his underdeveloped penis to the camera?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. It's butt. BH. Wow, you really cannot see anything. The cat clearly does not enjoy that either. So we'll go ahead and stop that right now. This is not the first time you've abused an animal.
I knew that was going to come up.
On the this is the first time you've done it online, but you've definitely done it in other places. So thank you for that, Anna. Welcome. Good to see you last weekend. We got to spend some time together in person at Manasota Key, Englewood, Florida, this past weekend, where you...
That was awesome, by the way. That was really, really, really cool. What an incredible spot that I never knew about.
Yeah, it's kind of... I've been down there a few times. We got a little place on the beach for Labor Day weekend. I don't like how... It seems like a hotel check-in. Now, it really wasn't a hotel. It wasn't an Airbnb. It was kind of like a complex, like a place that had many...
How'd you find it? On Airbnb?
I think it's just a place online. Put in Manasota Key and places come up of where to stay. And it's like a compound where I believe that there are many different beach houses. There's on the property that we were on... they had a few different, like, we were in this little tiny beach house, and then the house next to it was like a big place with multiple bedrooms. And then I got the vibe that whole block was kind of this beachcomber, it's called, compound type of thing. And I don't like how I feel like you have to check out. It used to be 11. This place was 10. You got to check out at 10, but we couldn't check in until 4 p.m. So, you know, you're being billed for, you know, technically it's 2 nights, I guess, and 3 days, but it's really not. You're kind of, you know, like I said, you can't show up till 4 and you got to check out at 10. So I didn't like that, but it was a beautiful location. It was nice being right out on the beach, like literally being able to walk out and you're on the beach right there at this key. And we had a few people come out. It was a good time, and I was happy that you were able to make it because I never get to see you in person. So
I know.
We got to hang, sit on the beach, and talk about Hitler's drug use during World War II, which I really enjoyed.
I love that. I'm so bad at small talk. I don't even know how to do it. Not that I ever small talk with you. I feel like we only exchange – you and I, it's either big ideas or gossip. Like, that's it. There's no weather. There's like, I almost like crap myself. You know, this big change is happening at work. We're kind of, you know, talking about people we know or just like big ideas. What's going on in the world? So I like that.
Yeah, it was fun. And then we sat in the water. You were hesitant to go in the water because you were on your menstrual cycle. And I believe you were afraid that you were going to bring in sharks.
It got really, really bad. I ended up having quite the episode at night. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but do you ever try to solve a problem, but the solution to said problem thereby causes a new problem that you yet have to solve?
Well, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Yeah, please, please.
So I was not doing well towards the tail end of the day. I was feeling unwell because of female issues that plague us or plague me once a month. So we left, you know, and I ended up taking some medication for the discomfort I was feeling, but it wasn't really working. So we get home, we settle in, and I'm lying in bed, and I say to Chris, my boyfriend, Could I get some relief via a medicinal plant, perhaps? And he said, sure, no problem, because I know that, you know, smoking marijangas, as you say, I've learned that that can sometimes alleviate menstrual cramps, or the pain associated with menstrual cramps. So we go, I smoke. Now, unfortunately for me, I have been smoking weed wrong my whole life, Will. My entire life has been a lie, because what I realized is that the day I learned how to smoke weed, I was misinformed. So what happens when you're misinformed, and with weed, it's not really like a skill. You don't really, it's not like a sport where you practice. It's like someone shows you one time, and then that's how you know how to smoke weed. So I was misinformed about how to smoke weed. So I was smoking it wrong my whole life until my boyfriend said to me about 6 months ago, hey, dumbass, you have to breathe it in. And do you know what I said, Will? I said, you're not supposed to swallow the smoke. Because in my mind, I thought that was swallowing smoke. Because I would just kind of hold it back here and wait for it to kind of, I don't know, marinate, and then I would just breathe it out. And oftentimes there'd be no like smoke when I breathe that, because it was escaping me. It wasn't going into my lungs.
Right.
So my boyfriend was like, you have to inhale. And I go, that's actually swallowing. Like in my mind, I was swallowing smoke because I'm dumb. So I was smoking weed around my whole life until very recently, but now I smoke weed too well. So what happened is I used to be able to smoke like a whole joint because I wasn't really taking in much. It would take a lot to get me high. Now I took 4 hits to try to alleviate menstrual cramps. And unfortunately, I threw myself into a hallucinogenic psychosis where apparently when I went back to bed, I started hyperventilating and crying because I was convinced I had taken something other than marijangas. I was convinced it was laced with something, an unknown drug, an experimental of some sort. So I now still have cramps, by the way. I still have cramps, and now I'm hallucinating and crying. So the boyfriend then had to come up with another solution to accommodate the previous solution, which caused a new problem. So I had enough wits to know that he was still my boyfriend, even though I was having problems determining what was real from not real. I'm like, did I go to the beach today? I don't know. Like, it was just this weird sort of state of mind. So thankfully, I was able to choke down a quarter Xanax. And finally, all of the problems were solved. And it was an important lesson, which is benzodiazepines fix everything.
They certainly do. Now, I should warn you, I just saw a big strike of lightning and heard it in my headphones. So I'm hoping that I don't go offline at some point, but I may. If that happens, I don't know what the protocol will be, but We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Like the radio professionals that we are.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the cross we have to bear, I suppose, today. But now, when you say you took 4 hits, I did notice towards the end of the day that I went outside because we were going to go have some dinner at one of the local establishments on Minnesota Key. And you didn't say much. I ended up talking to Chris more about what the plan was. And then he said, yeah, I think we're just going to go. Now, were you suffering at this point in the day?
Yeah, I wasn't feeling good. I saw you come out and you were like collecting some stuff. And then right afterwards, you just said, you know, hey, we're doing X, Y, and Z. Yeah, I was not feeling great. I was determining, like, do I take medication now? Is it too late? And a lot of times when you're in a lot of pain, you just need to like concentrate on breathing. And because unfortunately for me, I get cramps pretty bad and it just, I can't really do much. And I certainly don't want to socialize and do anything with people. So I do apologize for that.
No, that's fine. You said you took 4 hits. Is that about 3 more than usual when you indulge with this substance?
Well, again, it's kind of hard because my baseline has completely changed. But I would say a couple weeks ago, I took two hits of Merjangis, good hits of Merjangis, and put me right to sleep. I felt great. But, you know, with these new people, and it's like the monkey's butthole versus the mango's vagina, like, all these different strains do different things, and people who used to be, like, losers who were just stoners now are, like, bud tenders and, like, experts about all this sativa, indica, this THC, that THC. So I understand that different strains have different effects, but this was really, I've been smoking weed wrong my whole life, I suppose, but I've never experienced such an unpleasant high from smoking. Like, I've had issues with edibles, but not smoking. So that's why I was alarmed by the reaction it had on my brain.
I mean, four hits is a good amount. If you're not used to indulging, and you said you took two, I mean, that's double the dose, four hits. So, I mean, that's kind of a big jump in your usage.
Yes, yes. Because those two hits really helped me sleep. So I'm thinking if two hits help me sleep, then four hits will really help me sleep. But again, I don't know if it was a different strain or, you know, something where you do overindulge and now you're in paranoia land versus just relaxation. So I don't know. I do not know, but it wasn't good.
It's an interesting concept. I'm overall pro marijuana. I think this is, I don't know if we talked about it a few weeks ago, I can't remember, but my stance on it being a medicine is, I guess, a hot take. I didn't really think that it was, but I remember I helped John Sending out on DGL a few months ago now, and I've never received so much backlash for a comment that I made. I've said some heinous things on the radio, most of it a joke, some not. But most of it in jest, or at least hyperbolized, you know, maybe exaggerated a little bit for effect. But when I said that I don't believe that it's a medicine and that it actually has therapeutic effects, I don't think I've ever got so much backlash. And I think that the medicinal effects you do get are just like tranquilizing certain aspects of your perception, that you get high and you find it to be medicinal, which if that works, I'm all for it. But the people who go all in full tilt to this is actually a medicine, like a penicillin. Medicine. Well, yeah, right. And that's the thing, because like an opiate is a medicine. It's prescribed by a doctor and it obviously helps treat pain, as does marijuana. So yeah, but I think that, you know, the opiates just get you high and it stops you from feeling the pain.
There's an aspect of euphoria. It definitely blocks pain sensors as well. So it kind of has a twofold way of acting. But yeah, it's interesting because opiates don't really, like, if you take like a pain medication, it's not really alleviating the problem. It's just numbing the pain, if that makes sense. So yeah, it's not really getting you better like we think medicine, antibiotics, something that like treats the illness. This is something that treats the symptom. Right. So if you consider something that's treating the symptom, whether it's an SSRI that, you know, numbs your anxiety or whatever, if that is treating the symptom and we consider that a medicine, then yeah, weed surely can be used as medicine. But again, how do you define medicine?
If something treats your, you know, anything. I mean, like booze could be a medicine. In fact, it was at one point. I mean, alcohol was like old West frontier medicine. It was, if you're in pain, take a few swigs of whiskey. And now if you indulge too much into whiskey, now you're an addict, you're an alcoholic, and it's not medicinal anymore. And I think it can be the same thing with pot.
It can be anything, right? Like,
yeah. No, I get it. I just think that, and by the way, I think that if you smoke marijuana, that's great. And I think that you do get a beneficial effects from it. I also think it can be bad too, because there's too many people who just go, I need my medicine, and then they just smoke weed all day, all night. I don't think that's good for you. I don't think doing anything all the time is beneficial to you. And I think it's detrimental because it is messing with your brain chemistry. I mean, it's a chemical that you're putting inside your body that is messing with your brain chemistry. And that's true with pot, with booze, with a lot of different substances, opiates, whatever. If you classify what is a medicine and if it just treats symptoms, and I guess you could call it that, but also medicines can have side effects that are not always
positive. Absolutely. I don't think anyone would deny. My main issue with weed is that, like you said, there's some people that smoke it all day because they have anxiety. And so they smoke weed to not feel the anxiety. And then as soon as the anxiety comes back, they smoke more weed. But what that anxiety, and they think they have a problem. Like, oh, I have anxiety. It's like, no, anxiety is a useful human emotion that motivates you to do something because you're not in a good place right now. Now, again, anxiety can get carried away to the point where it's inhibiting you from doing anything. You're just paralyzed from fear. But also, I know when I'm feeling anxious about something that I'm procrastinating on, for example, it motivates me to do it so I don't feel that anxiety. But if you just keep medicating that anxiety so you don't feel it anymore, well, then you become a loser. And you can speak to this because you said that, you know, when you were younger, you were smoking weed quite a bit and you were not nearly as productive as you are now. So,
yeah, I mean, I had a good time. You know, during that experience, but also wasn't very productive during that time. So, once I stopped, I took a little tolerance break, and then I actually started to accomplish things. You know, started this podcast. I just took more time to focus on things, and I felt the pressure of the world, and it was good for me. And it's like exercise. You don't only exercise your body, but you want to exercise your brain too. And that comes from challenges that you're able to overcome. And, I think that's important for people. And I think that this culture emphasizes, you know, mental health awareness, like taking care of yourself, taking it easy. Don't be so, you know, don't stress yourself out. Just lay back. If you need some time to relax, take some time to relax. Don't compete. If you don't want to compete, that's fine. And while I understand the method behind it, I understand the madness, you know, behind it by not, you know, pressuring people and taking care of your mental health, I think also you should challenge yourself a little bit. That's what competition is. Like, there was a stories about, you know, Simone Biles who, you know, in the Olympics bailed and decided not to compete for her mental health. And I think I'm able to emphasize on both, you know, I could see both sides of that argument, but overall, I think it's a bad thing. It teaches bad work ethic to bail on your teammates and bail on just because I don't feel good. I don't feel right in the head today. It just encourages weakness. And I think that is becoming a downfall of our civilization at this point.
Yeah, it's a little bit more difficult with gymnastics. I'm not a gymnast, but I mean, those tricks are pretty dangerous if you don't feel confident. I think confidence is a big part of the sport. Like with running, your head's not in the right place, you just lose. You're just not as fast. But I mean, I don't know, with all the flips and turns and stuff like that, I don't know if it's a different game where if you don't feel on it, like one wrong move and you're paralyzed. I don't know. So that's why I was kind of willing to give her a little bit more leeway than, say, a different type of athlete. But, I don't know. I don't know if it was bogus. I wish she would have pulled through, you know. But it also just seems bizarre because it's not like she hasn't been under that sort of pressure before. This wasn't her first Olympics. It's not her first time in competition. So maybe something really was going, you know, I don't know.
It's Austin Meadows too, former Rays player. He did the same thing, and it's hard. Like, you don't want to. It's like you don't want to sound like a dick for calling these athletes out or whoever for taking a mental health break, because sometimes you need it. Like, if it's going to be detrimental to your life. But I just think we have this culture now of coddling people instead of giving them, like, facing challenges and accomplishing them. You level up, I feel, and you're able to take on more challenges. Now you can get overwhelmed, and sometimes people do get overwhelmed. Everybody does. But I don't know if the answer is to just completely shut down and say, I can't do this. I need to take a step back, because that's not where we got, you know, that's not how we got here evolutionary. We took on challenges. We did that. You move up every time you take on these things, and now we're just kind of like, nah, it's too hard. I gotta take a break. It's too much for me right now, and I don't think that's positive or helpful.
Now, I don't know how many friends of yours have kids that are like teenagers right now, or people in Gen Z. I'm not quite sure what date years in terms of what that includes, but with younger people today, as far as I've noticed, it's really pathetic. They're lazy. They like, even us as adults who, you know, I got my first cell phone at 14. I can remember a time where I didn't have a cell phone. I remember using a landline growing up. Kids these days aren't getting their license until 20, 21. They don't really care about independence. There's really no urge to go out and experience things like there once was. And people, the kids are just lazy. They have this Amazon Prime culture where they just expect everything to be at the will of their fingertips. And the whole concept of delayed gratification is really just lost on this new generation of people who don't have to work for anything because everything is instant. And I think that's alarming for the future. So,
and it's becoming a thing. I mean, a lot of people kind of feel this way, and it's evolving its way into professional sports. I mean, professional sports is kind of combat, but like tribal combat, but instead of using swords and cutting each other's heads off, we root for the red team or the blue team. And, it's made to simulate that. Like, can you imagine going out on a battlefield and going like, I can't do this today. I need a mental health break. Like, it doesn't exist in nature. And this culture that we've created, this bubble, this softness that's all around us now, the comfort is kind of masking the fact that that's really how life is in nature. And everything's really trying to kill you to a certain extent. And we just have the technology and civilization to kind of keep it away. But you should stay, you know, as David Goggins says, stay hard, right? And and maybe not go as extreme as he does because he's a lunatic. But you gotta appreciate his worth ethic at the very least. And, just this, I don't think it's good to promote just giving up and being soft.
What is that saying? It's like, good times produce soft men produce bad times produce strong men produce good times, and the cycle just kind of continues.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
It is. You know? It is, and I think that's kind of become a catchphrase of, like, a lot of people would accuse you of being a right-winger extremist.
Red pill,
By using that phrase. But, man, that is so...
It's not true.
It's so true. And I think anybody who denies it just doesn't have any sort of concept of any sort of history or how we got here. Because it's super true. Things really have never... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Recall a time when people were encouraged to be soft, ever. Like, and again, we're evolving into this postmodern toxic masculinity sort of deal. I don't think masculinity has ever been demonized in the history of human civilization until probably the last, 30 years tops, maybe more, 40. Now, what used to be praised and people used to give accolades for is now demonized and considered, toxic to mankind, to humankind. So it's really bizarre. And actually, I've been trying to kind of look into what lit this fire of toxic masculinity. How did this start? Was this something that kind of is an innocent outgrowth of feminism, which initially, had good cause for equal rights and, working opportunities and things like that. But is it kind of like this runaway concept where we're like, okay, we're equal. Now we want to get even for all the S you put us through for the last millennia, whatever. Now we're going to demonize toxic masculinity. I hope that's what it is. What makes me paranoid is that it's some sort of, I don't want to call it like a psyop, but like a few think tanks or thought leaders who decided, listen, this is how we make a society more complacent. This is how we make a society more submissive, is we don't want people to fight back. We don't want people to have freedoms. We don't want people to feel like they can do things for themselves. We want people to be relying on the government. So the kind of conspiracy, paranoid, tinfoil hat part of me is thinking that this is something larger than just an outgrowth, a byproduct of feminism, that it's something more sinister. What do you think?
So, I don't know. I hear about these cultural phenomenons being part of like communism, and it's a slow way to leak communism into like mask it into society. And since culture kind of flows upstream, you know, or politics is downstream from the culture, that it's a good way to take over there first, influence the masses through the culture, and then you can kind of take over the politics, or the democracy, or whatever you want to call it. Democracy kind of has the positive connotations. Politics has the negative connotations. So I don't know. I mean, I'm open to the idea. I listened to the Communist Manifesto in an audiobook a few weeks ago, and I mean, there was things that they literally talked about not being part of the having a nuclear family. And I go, oh, I didn't know that was actually in the book, but it's in the book. Straight up. So I don't know. I mean, I could see that maybe potentially being part of it. I don't know exactly how it happened and how it really took root. Maybe it's just kind of the denigration of there's some sayings like you always just keep going left. Like the, what do you call that? Thermodynamics, when it just breaks down. You keep going more and more extreme, more and more extreme. And for whatever reason, it tends to go leftwards until you're just broken apart and civilization is broken apart. So I don't know, but that seems to be consistent, at least what's kind of what's going on from the things that I can observe. Because there's just things that are happening now that are so absurd and so ridiculous. And it just keeps getting more. You think it can't get any more silly and insane and detached.
Does.
Yeah, and detached from any sort of semblance of what we thought we knew. It's just completely broken apart. There's no center. There's nowhere to anchor yourself. There's no truth. You know, I mean, there's just crazy things you can get thrown off the internet for that, you know, relating to gender, who's a male, who's female. If you say the wrong thing, you get thrown offline. Now, it doesn't matter if it's factually true or not, because they just go, no, it's not true. And that's really frustrating, really scary, because I'm kind of just like, my personality type is, that's wrong, though. And I mean, I like to think that I'm pretty compassionate and empathetic and accepting of people, but there's just...
You're not.
I guess not. I mean, I guess not. I don't know. I accept them on an individual basis, but like, there's just certain things where... they're just totally untrue, like involving chromosomes, for example, like that. And I just go, well, you know, I don't mind calling you him or her, you know, even if you weren't born necessarily him or
polite
her.
Person, right.
And being polite individually, but to just say that, you know, oh, it doesn't matter. Like you were assigned that at birth by a doctor and you go, well, I mean, the doctor knows. They're kind of, they went to school for this for a long time. They know what's going on.
Yeah, a doctor to identify, you know,
true,
a male of a human species. It's pretty obvious. But no, I agree with you. Like you do it because you're polite. You don't want to have to do it because if you don't, you're going to be put in jail for a hate crime.
Yeah,
like that's how I feel about it. Yeah, but I also will respect and reward people who are trying. Like if you're just a dude with a dress on, you got a full beard, and you want me to call you a girl. Like, I mean, I will because I'm afraid, but I mean, it's not because I'm doing it out of courtesy. It's, you're not trying. Like, I need you to try. When I see people like Blair White, She really tried, okay? She really, like, to call her a boy or to say he is, like, almost ridiculous because she looks identical to a female, even though genetically she's not. Whatever, who cares? But she's making an effort, you know what I mean? So I will award her with the proper pronouns that seem fit because she looks so feminine. But when you see these people with, like, you know, they clearly haven't taken hormones, they just maybe tucked it back and put on a tutu, you're just like, you just seem unstable, and I want to get away from you for that reason.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there is a condition in the medical book.
DSM-5.
Right. And now, but the thing about that is that, well, that's just consensus. So, you know, if enough doctors are ideologically on the same page, they could just remove that. And now it's not a disorder. So I want to be on an individual basis. I'm okay with these types of things, but I mean, if it's wrong, then I'm going to say, yeah, but that's not really true though. And now it can, you run the risk of potentially getting thrown in jail. There's a teacher in Ireland who just got pulled a Jordan Peterson and said, yeah, I'm not going to do this pronouns thing. They're in jail right now, which is concerning. I mean, this is Ireland. It's not, you know, Russia or China or something like that. Like this is part of the West. And, you know, it seems like that America is just a little behind, like these European Canadian, places are canaries in the coal mine. So how far is it going to go? You know, I'm just worried about getting kicked offline right now, but pretty soon in a few years, you might be worried about getting sent to prison for committing hate crimes if you're not.
In regards to like gender dysphoria being the DSM, I don't know if you saw the documentary "What Is a Woman" with Matt Walsh from Daily Wire. It was funny, like it was very entertaining.
Yeah,
but they interviewed a person who tried to transition, basically ruined her life, took all these hormones and everything, is balding like a man, shaped like a woman, talks like a man, has breasts like a woman, and she was just saying how horrible it was and how much she was influenced to transition and that all of her problems would be solved. But she kind of shed some light on some interesting statistics that most people with gender dysphoria end up committing suicide 7 years after they transition with what hormones or gender reassignment surgery. So this whole, like, all you need to do is just accept them. It's like, clearly they can't even accept themselves. And even when they put themselves in the role of the other gender, thinking it's going to give them all this peace of mind, it doesn't. So there's some sort of, like, mental issue. I mean, suicide is, I forget what the statistic is, but it's highly linked with gender dysphoria. A lot of people are killing themselves. And so it seems to be something, I mean, about gender, but also linked to either depression or something else. So when people just try to embrace it like it's lifestyle versus like a mental disorder, that's where I have issues. You know, like you shouldn't necessarily maybe be ashamed of your mental disorder, but like you don't see people with schizophrenia going like, this is a lifestyle. It's like, help me, you know, help, please. So I feel like one by one, we're taking all these disorders and trying to transform them into like quirks or lifestyles. And it's just, it's not the case and it's going to backfire.
I think the response too for saying that, oh, well, they have an uptick in, you know, self-harm down the line is that, well,
society doesn't accept them.
Doesn't accept them. Right.
Really? So they live in San Francisco their whole life. And they go to all of the prides and they live in the transgender and the gay district and everything's great and they're still killing themselves. Who are they oppressed by when they live in an echo chamber where everyone's telling them they're goddess? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe if you are like, what was the movie with Hilary Swank, Boys Don't Cry, something Shepherd? This person was like, you know, heckled and I mean, this person ended up getting murdered, but in the sense of like you're bullied to the point where you want to kill yourself, okay, sure. But in a community where everyone is accepting of it, not only accepting but like trying to encourage it, it doesn't seem to be the case that we can still blame society for being oppressive. So
again, you know, it's kind of a chicken or the egg type of scenario, but it's hard to, it's more, you can have the data, but you can make the data say whatever you want, and right. you can get it to tell a story. You can pull the narrative. So it's hard to know what's real. It's almost like, well, I'm hearing two sides, and maybe this is the way it always was too, where you hear two sides of an argument and decide which one is better, who makes a better argument, and that's who's kind of right, I guess.
That's how it should work, right? Idea versus idea.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose so, because how else are you going to figure out? And I guess you never really do know, you know, what's true and what's not. And now, as we know, there's a big push to censor and get rid of other arguments that aren't nice, that are mean, because they're not respectful of human rights or whatever the reason is, or they're racist or they're, you know, sexist, mm-hmm. whatever ist you want to attack on there. And I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's good. I don't know who does, but mm-hmm. it's all about just winning at this point. Like, I know the people who are cheering that type of behavior on know that it's probably like wrong, but it's really all about winning. So, you know, we're getting to a point where you can't really pull any punches, and you know, I don't want it to come to a civil war. I hope we could just come to some sort of like, all right, let's agree to disagree here. I'm going to go my way, you go your way, and we can kind of have a peaceful peace. Yeah. Peaceful peace, where we mm-hmm. hopefully can do some sort of commerce with each other and, you know, shop in each other's shops, but you leave me alone. I don't agree with you. You don't agree with me. You can kind of do your own thing. I'll do my thing. But I feel like that's really the only way out of this at this point, because it's so entrenched in people that I don't know. I fear for what can happen if this kind of continues. Because I'm just, you know, again, it's like I like to think that I'm pretty accepting, but there's certain things that are just wrong. They're just factually incorrect, and I can't accept those on a wide scale. So I don't know, you know, am I going to get thrown in a camp? Am I going to be hurt? You know, I don't know. But I'm not going to just say, yeah, you're right. Cool. I can't live like that. I wouldn't be able to stand myself at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be a bumpy road, I guess, you know, going down the line into the future.
Sure is. But I'm excited for it. Bring it on.
I'm not.
Things ahead of us. It should be interesting to see what happens with the election, all of the drama that will ensue. So, you know, I try to spin the narrative instead of it being like, you know, oh my God, we're getting bogged down by, you know, everyone's screaming at each other. It's like, let's look at this like entertainment instead of the policies that will control our lives. And that way you can kind of get some enjoyment out of it just to see the circus unfold. So I'm excited for it.
I don't share your optimism, but I hope that it's all good. Before you go, I'd like to read some comments. We got Joe Grimm. He says, Johnny B, can you not link this BS podcast from your website? Okay, that's hurtful, number one. And he says, if I wanted to listen to this, I'd subscribe. That's fair enough, Joe. I will say that we do broadcast from the Johnny B Show. It's not his website. It's his Facebook page. But I do that because I am part of the Johnny B Show. I'm the second half.
And be part of the Johnny B Show.
And Anna used to be. So we do broadcast the show from the Johnny B Show Facebook page, as well as HMB Radio and YouTube, my YouTube, willsyoutube.com. I would suggest, Joe, just don't watch. Just go about your day. And I appreciate you doing that. And screw you. Kher Patel, our buddy Kher, says, if you can't afford it, I'm assuming he's talking about some sort of surgeries for people to present as more male or more female, which is,
Don't you think the government should cover those costs?
That's probably true, and they are in many cases. Kevin says, yes, we've created a lot of unstable, confused people. I haven't done anything, Kevin. Society has done that, not me. I'm Mr. Rationality here. Never wrong about anything. No, I'm kidding. Wrong about a lot of things. But Anna, I know you got to go. Appreciate you being here.
And where am I going, Will? Say it.
You're going to karate class. What is your belt right now? What belt are you?
White.
Still white. Okay.
My favorite color.
Yeah. Okay, good. What stripe are you? Don't you have some stripes?
I do. I have 4 stripes.
Oh, pretty good.
Now, I feel like they're participation stripes, Will, and I don't want to be coddled, much like we just spoke about. I don't want to be rewarded for my effort. I want to be rewarded for my skill. So I feel like sometimes they, at the beginning, I don't know if it's like kind of a marketing ploy where if you come to a certain amount of classes, they give you a bell, or if you test and you pass, you get a stripe. But I still feel like I also suffer from crippling self-doubt, and I just never think I'm good enough for anything. So maybe I'm better than I think I am, but I suspect I am not. I suspect I am bad. So I kind of don't want to advance anymore because I want to feel like I'm a 4-striper or a 5-striper or a blue belt. I don't want to feel like they're giving it to me because of time spent, if that makes sense. So,
well,
nothing will be worse than wearing a blue belt and then getting my ass whooped by a bunch of white belts. Like, that terrifies me.
Right. Well, that's the thing, though, is that you're going to get better, you're going to advance in your belts, and, you know, the time spent is important, right? I mean, that's how you get better, is investing
that's
time.
That's how you get better, but I don't want to be rewarded for the time. I want to be rewarded for the outcome. So, like, don't just, if I spent 20 hours doing something, don't give me a medal for it. Like, make sure that I'm where I need to be, whether it takes me 20 hours or 400 hours, like, I just want to make sure that I'm at the level where I deserve whatever, what would you call it, decorations I have, belts, stripes, whatever. So,
well, as long as you're not taking any mental health breaks and you're going to karate class every week, I think you deserve those stripes, and I think you should be proud of them. And I'd like to see you wear your karate uniform next podcast, maybe.
Next podcast. Okay, I will.
All right, terrific. Well, thank you, Anna. I'll see you next week.
All right, bye, Will.
Goodbye to Anna Hummel, and goodbye to you fine people listening to this program. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you so much. Bonus content available right now, willspodcast.com, willsyoutube.com. Click the bell, get notified when Anna and I go live on Wednesday afternoons. And bonus content is up there on podcast, only available at hmbradio.com. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Koontz. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.